तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहैः ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। हरिः ॐ श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः। हरिः ॐ चैंट फोर्थ मंत्र। इह चेदसकद्बोद्धुम् प्राक् शरीरस्य विस्त्रसः ततः सर्गेषु लोकेषु शरीरत्वाय कल्पते। So iha, iha means here, in this place, in this birth, in this avastha, in the mrityu loka. Chedas kad bodhum, in case we don't come to comprehend the reality. Bodhum means understand, comprehend, accept, experience. Supposing we don't come to apprehend and comprehend the reality as it is explained by the gurus and as well as by the sastra. And then what happens? Vak sarirasya vistrasaha. Vak means before. So we don't come to realize before what? Not before we turn 60 or 70. Supposing we don't come to realize it before the body falls off, before this mortal body is dead, then what? Tatah then, sargesu lokesu. So then actually we will go to another loka. Which loka is not mentioned? We'll go to some other loka. So it may be plant loka, it may be animal loka, it may be, as it will be explained in the next mantra, it could be Gandharva loka, Brahma loka, Mrityu loka, some other loka. So we'll go to appropriate environment. So this theory has been explained actually in the karma theory, is well known to us, so I don't have to go into it. But the idea is that depending on what is our over-empowering desires that did not get fulfilled in this life, a conducive environment will be given in the next life. So the mind and intellect equipment will actually choose an appropriate environment and the body to be born, so that, because without the gross body, no experience is possible, right? Just because mind and intellect never dies. Just as sugandha of the flower, just as the fragrance of the flower is carried away by the wind in a whiff, similarly, when the body falls off, the gross body falls off, the mind and intellect, because it has no shape or form, it will actually be whipped away. And then it will select another suitable body in which it will lodge itself with what? With the same complexion that was there before. So whatever is the utmost, most pressing desires in our life that we did not achieve. So that is why there is so much rush into going to medical school these days. Because everybody dies with the desire, arre is bar to doctor nahi bana. So everybody wants to be doctor in the next life. So the utmost desire, according similarly, so according to the, and then in environment also, not only the body will be appropriate. but the environment will also be appropriate. So therefore, sargesu lokesu sariratvaya. Sarir here is the gross body, not the mind and intellect. So that appropriate sarir, appropriate gross body. And then this word is very interesting. Kalpate. You will acquire in kalpana matrena. Yes, Rishi is very suggestive in what terminology he uses. Kalpate. So not that really it will happen, but so at this ephemeral level of existence, not from the absolute standpoint, but the relative standpoint, we will acquire another body. And that body will then again go through the same cycle that we have gone through in this life. And so on and so on and so on. It will continue. So therefore, the urgency of Brahma Vidya, urgency of getting the Brahma Vidya, urgency of getting the knowledge and imbibing it in our life in this very Janma is really being indicated. That is the idea of writing this this mantra. Now the question may come to the student, and he or she may come up with this question and say, okay, theek hai. But you say that there's another conducive environment I will go to, and then again, so what is the hurry? Because, oh sir, according to your own theory, I have taken so many births and deaths before, and I'm here. So what is the hurry? Why can't I just relax this life? Theek hai abhi. 60 years I have already passed, and now, rest of the time, I want to enjoy. Dangal dekhenge. Why not enjoy? Like that, somebody may argue. So therefore, the fifth mantra is there. It's very interesting how the teacher puts this idea together. Yatha darshe tathatmani. Yatha swapne tatha pitruloke. Yatha psu parivad drshe. Tatha gandharva loke. Chaya tapayori va brahma loke. So three lokas, actually four lokas, are explained. One is this loka. This loka is called Mrityu loka. So in this Mrityu loka, it is considered that we were lucky to born into this Mrityu loka. I keep playing with it as Anilji is going to. He won't be able to use it then.
No. I have more.
So in this Pitruloka, it is assumed that the merits and sins are about equal. Not exactly equal, but about equal. So that is why we have taken birth in this loka. Because in the past, if you have the accounting of all the past births and how much good deeds we did and how many bad deeds we did, the balance is about equal. But if it is not equal, supposing one is more than the other, then we may not be born into this particular loka with this set of environment, with this set of experiences. And also after we die, which loka we go to? So, we believe that all our forefathers, fathers, forefathers after their death have gone into Pitru loka. They go to the colony of dead. Pitruloka means they are dead. They don't have body. They only have the mind and intellect there. The gross body is not there. Therefore, their experiences will be limited. And they cannot communicate with us also, even if they want to. I don't know how they communicate with each other. I have not gone there. The Pitruloka. Then There is also another loka called the Gandharva loka. Music. This is like the Hollywood of Bollywood also, where the artisans have perfected their techniques of singing and music playing and dancing and all that. And then the problem is, drug is a problem there also, in Gandharva Loka. So then, you know, the experience of Brahman cannot be complete when you are in drug. It says here, you know, I'm not. The words used are different. But so that is also a problem. Then the third loka that one can go to is called Brahma Loka. So this is Krama Mukti. So that we have almost achieved the goal of realization. And I have made my mind and intellect completely subtle. And I have understood the importance and significance of who I am. And I'm imbibing that in my personality. But by stroke of luck, just at the last minute, as I was going to realize, I died. Kya kare? So now they go to special message, I mean special vehicle will come to take us to Brahmaloka. Then Brahmaloka, Brahmaji himself is the teacher. But he takes his sweet time. So we'll enjoy a lot there, you know, all Coca-Cola, everything is available free. No money is to be given. Thai food also they have started now. So, maja. And Brahmaji takes his time. One good day, he will say, okay, now come on, enough. You have earned a lot of merit, so therefore I allowed you to enjoy so much. Now let's come to the terms. You want to realize, isn't it? So you will say, okay, if you say so, I was enjoying. But anyway, yeah, of course. So then Brahmaji will actually teach the knowledge. And after, when Brahmaji himself is teaching, the creator of the world is teaching, that there is no creation, knowledge should happen, I think. And so then we will be freed. Moksha mil jayega. So this is Gandharva Loka. So three lokas plus the Mrityu Loka. So what is he saying? What is the teacher saying here? Yatha darse tatha atmani. Yatha darse, they say here, is indicating mirror. So in those days also some reflecting surface must have been there. So they call that as mirror, yatha darse. So you see as it is, basically. That is the idea. Yatha darse means you appear exactly the way you are in your reflection. So therefore yourself, your real self, the Atma, the Atmani, you will be able to exactly see it as it is, and you will be able to enjoy that truth for the rest of your life after you become Jivan Mukta to the fullest extent. That is the idea. So in this loka, if we come to realize, if moksha is attained, Jivan Mukti, then for the rest of the time that I am alive, I will actually revel in that knowledge to the highest extent possible. Yatha sapne tatha pitru loke. But supposing you are in pitru loka and then you get realized there. The teacher says, I'm not saying that you may not realize there. You may realize, I don't know. I'm not doubting it. Maybe you may realize in pitru loka. But in pitru loka, if you realize, yatha sapne. That is to say that details will not be available to you. It is like, you know, yesterday, you can say I saw my friend in the dream. And I had not met him for so long, so I actually called him up and said, hey, you came in my dream and all that. He was also happy that you were dreaming about him. Then supposing he asks, he says, so what was I wearing? That I don't know. So that I don't remember. But you were there, as clear as anything. You were there, absolutely. I know it was you. We even talked. So then he said, whether I was wearing, at least you can tell me whether I was wearing lungi or I was wearing pants. I don't know. Now, all I remember is that I saw your face. Was I wearing specs or was I not wearing specs? I don't know. See? Sapna is never clear. We think that we saw exactly what we saw, but if somebody asks us to describe, we can't describe. So therefore, if we know Brahman like that, what is the fun? That is the idea. She said, I don't, the teacher says, okay, fine, maybe you will realize in Pitruloka. I don't doubt it. You are a Mahatma. But if you realize in Pitruloka, details will not be clear. So how are you going to enjoy the Brahmanhood? How are you going to enjoy the fact that you finally realized, devoid of all details of the Brahman? Therefore, he says, it is important that you realize in this loka. Then the doubt may come and say, no, but what if I go to Gandharva loka? Because, you know, I know how to sing. Bahut bhajan, I have sung so many bhajans. I can sing. So I will go to Gandharva loka. I'm not going to go to Pitru loka. The teacher says, yatha apsu pariva didrase, tatha gandharva loke. Apsu means water. So therefore, yatha, just as the reflection is in the water, like that, the reflection of the Atman will be in the water, not in the mirror. Water. So what is the difference? Well, the difference is that a little gentle breeze will actually shake the water, and therefore you won't, even for a moment, you may not be able to see the clear reflection of the Atman. So then the clarity of the knowledge about the Atman will not be so detailed. Therefore, Gandharva Loke, according to him, is also useless. And no, I had so many punya. No? I am really an ardent devotee of all Chinmaya Mission Swamis. What are you talking about? If I don't realize before my death, then God will think, "Arey, something, some catastrophe happened here. To garbad ho gaya." So therefore, I'll be sent to Brahmaloka. Then what? Now tell me. So the teacher said, okay. Supposing you end up in Brahmaloka also, chaya tapayoriva Brahmaloka. You will be seeing the details of the Atman as shadow and light, darkness and light. What is the meaning? You'll only see the outline of the Brahman. So the picture of Mahatma Gandhi, you know, you will recognize with the gold, that the dreamed glasses and taklu and nose. You immediately will recognize this is Mahatma Gandhi, but no details. Whether he is smiling or he is staring at you or whether no other details are available. So therefore, Brahmaloka also, you won't be able to enjoy to the extent that you will enjoy here once you come to recognize that I am that Supreme Self. Some other commentaries are also there, and they say that you cannot just marginalize Brahmaloka because it is accepted as one of the paths through which you can come to realize Brahman. And Brahmaji himself is going to be the teacher. Therefore, you cannot marginalize this. So they say, okay, we can translate a little differently. That just like light and darkness. So any painting you paint, any picture you paint, or any photograph you take, what you are doing is you are capturing the image as intensity differences, right? I mean, that's all there is to it. So the light intensity that hits the photographic film, that intensity, shades of intensity, or the pixels, or whatever you call it now, of grayness. The more the pixels, the more clear the picture. So that is really captured. So here, that is what is indicated by chaya tapa, darkness and light, let us say. Then with that kind of translation, it is saying that you will get a very clear picture. But then the commentator say that, okay, that may be so, but it is not easy to go to Brahmaloka. Going to Brahmaloka means like you were actually going to catch the flight starting at 7:19 a.m. in the morning. And just as you reach the gate, the plane is pulling away. That doesn't happen. How many times you have flown, right? Usually it doesn't happen. Very rarely that happens, that you just made it but you were like 1 minute late. Similarly, if you are 1 minute late in realization before your death, then only you go to Brahmaloka. Otherwise, Brahmaloka is not that easy. So those commentators point that out and say, therefore, going to Brahmaloka, yes, you will get a clear picture of Atman, but going to Brahmaloka itself is not that easy. For that also, you have to attain a certain level of purity, certain level of understanding. So, itna kaam kar liya, toh ek step aur kar lena. Why you want to die and then do it? You see, that's what they are saying. If you come to that point, you could have started from home a minute early, you would have caught the flight. So, therefore, the idea is, this is it. In this life alone, you must try your best, strive your best to come to realization. Okay. Now the topic from here is changing. So this one upasana, one sadhana is already given to us. What is that? We are told that human birth is the most important thing that can happen to you, and therefore utilize it. This is one upasana actually. Because we have so many other activities that we are engulfed in, that we don't recognize one thing that we should be doing. And that is, at least selecting some time on a daily basis during which we don't do anything other than upasana or search of the self or inquiry into the self, whatever you want to call it, it's all upasana only. There also we have a problem, you know. The moment I pick up, you know, Upanishad, I start sleeping. So then we say, okay, if that is the problem, you know, don't pick up Upanishad. Bhagavad Gita, I'm Bhagavad Gita. I don't believe in Krishna. You know, he has 108 gopis and this and that and all that nonsense he was. Don't worry. You don't believe in Krishna? No. I like the Bala Krishna, but you know the adult Krishna, he's a warmonger. Okay, fine. Ramayana se shuru karo. Ramayana mein kya hai? The story. There's nothing in Ramayana. So nothing you want to do, you understand? Story. Purana, that's all cock and bull story. How can that be? How can Ravana have these 10 heads and all that, you know? What are you talking about? You know, Ravan had a problem. I don't know how he found Mandodari. His problem was 10 heads. So anytime a girl comes to him and says, will you marry me? He will say, ha. Ha means yes. But he said, 10 times, ha, 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 ha. So she runs away. You know? He said, why are you unnecessarily making joke? You don't want to marry me? He said, no. So Purana we don't believe. Ramayana is too many stories, there is nothing there. Bhagavad Gita to I have a problem with Krishna. Upanishads to neend aa jati hai. To karenge kya? So then poor Mahatma, he says, okay, theek hai, aisa karo. Bhajan karo. Start bhajan. This is, I can't sing. Voice is my, you know. So Mahatma said, no, I understand that when you sing, everybody else leaves. But sing, let everybody leave and you sing. And then go out in the street and sing, let the neighbors call, pray to God. that you stop singing. Anyway, you see the idea though. We find so many excuses not to do what is obvious that we should be doing. It's a problem. We have lots of excuses. And we always want to start tomorrow. I mean, so, you know, 15 April is coming, not coming now, but let that be over, then I'll do it. So by after that is over, something else will come. You know? Then something else will come. Then something else will come. There is no end to it. And people who are married, I've seen some couples who have the dexterity to be detached from the kids. Otherwise, some couples, they get so, parents, they get so engaged in their life. It's terrible to watch. And then they have to, so, when their kids were growing up, they were like, oh, he just took the first step and the second step and all that. Now, when the kids are growing up, they are doing the same thing. No, it's okay, you know, when you take care of them, it's okay whenever you have a chance. But that should not be the purpose of life, in my opinion. The purpose of life is something much more divine. So therefore, kuch karo. Kam se kam. At least we can engage ourselves in some social activity, community help, something. Because those are the things through which mental equipoise can be attained. Okay. So from here now, from the sixth mantra, the topic is changing. So what was the emphasis? The emphasis was that human life is important. And luckily we have gotten it. So no animals have come here to listen to this lecture. Think about it. All the humans have come. And this question as to why am I here, where am I going, and what is the highest that I can achieve, that can only arise in a human mind. So animals don't think like that. And therefore, luckily for them, there is no papa punya also. Because the humans have been given the discriminative capacity, we have papa and punya. Our shastras are very clear. The trees and the animals, they go through their evolution in a sequence. So if you see a nice dog that is not barking and is always lovable, that means he has gone through a lot of janmas. They don't have papa and punya. They go through evolution in their natural sequence. We, on the other hand, through our discriminative capacity, can acquire papa and punya, and accordingly we can also accelerate or de-accelerate our evolution process. So that is the beauty of human birth. Now the second, I will tell you what is being emphasized here. The second point that the teacher is making in this Upanishad, sixth valli, is, and now that you have the human form, when you study Shastra, always pay attention to the Lakshyartha. Always pay attention to that meaning which is indicated, not the Vachyartha, not the literal translation. That is really what he is trying to say here. That is to say that when it is mentioned that Tattvam Asi, that you are that self, you are that entity, we must understand at that time that the entity that pointed out as Tvam is not the body-mind-intellect. It is the inherent consciousness because of which body-mind-intellect are functioning that is pointed out. So that Atma-bhava, that self that proclaims its existence every moment of my life, the one that says I am alive, the one that tells me I am alive, that entity is the one that is pointed out as Tvam. Otherwise, problem ho jayega. Because if we think that, you know, this BMI, then the same thing that's happening in India right now, you see. I don't know whether you are aware of it or not. Self-proclaimed guru who thinks of himself that he is God. And Punjab, Haryana, I think.
Right.
So those are the problems. And people are blind enough, stupid enough, and misguided enough that they blindly believe it. So that is so. Therefore, we must understand that Tvam is that Tvam, that spark of life in me is what is being pointed out. So this is what is said, Laksha. Therefore, in order to make that point, the next two stanzas are there. So, Indriyanam Prutak Bhavam.
Udayastamayochayat
Pruthak Utpadyamananam Matva Dhiro na Sochati. So Dhiro na Sochati, this is an important word here. Dhira means, we translate it as wise man. But the D is very important. As Gurudev always used to tell us, Buddhi means intellect. Bu is removed. D alone remains. That's how he used to say. So D here stands for the sharp intellect full of discriminative capacity. Discriminative in a good sense, huh? Because here when you say discrimination, they take the negative sense. Discrimination doesn't mean discrimination between those who have it and those who don't have it, or discriminate according to race or ethnicity or color or all that. This discriminative means ability to decide for once and for all what is good for me. What is the ultimate truth? What should I strive for in this life? And therefore, when we do that, everything has become secondary. Right now, the problem is everything else is primary. And seeking of Brahman is secondary. Time hai to aunga. If I have time, I'll come. So then time, we don't have time. I don't have time to clean my own house. Where are you going to find the time to really study Upanishad? Think about it. It is true, right? We have no time to clean our desk. It is true. How many of you have the time? How many of you say, no, I have so much time, I clean my desk. You probably haven't cleaned it in a while, isn't it? So when you don't have time to clean the desk or the house or this or that, or do the laundry, not laundry, we have to do, so we do it. But you push it off as much as possible. You know, I say one more pair is there, I think I can do it tomorrow. Think about it. So when are we going to find the time? When we have no importance for it and we don't think that is really needed for my survival or for my existence, we don't do it. So therefore, Dhira is one who has really come to that decision and conclusion that the most important task of my life is to do search for the self, to find out who I really am. Such people are called Dhira. And what have they gone through to come to that conclusion? Indriyanam Pruthak Bhavam. They understand that all the indriyas have different capacity. Each one of the indriyas have different capacity. So eyes can only see, eyes cannot hear, eyes cannot taste, touch, smell, eat. Similarly, ears can only hear. So all the indriyas sitting in their golok. Golok means places of residing place in the body. They all have their own capacity. But put together, they give us a complete picture. Put together with mind and intellect, they give us the complete picture. So not only these indriyas are different, they are distinct and have a distinct function, but udayastamayo chayata. These sense faculties sometimes are sharp, and sometimes are not sharp. So sometimes we hear the lecture, but the mind has gone somewhere else. So two or three sentences we miss, and then we come back and say, what was he saying? Happens to everybody. Used to happen to me also when I was listening to Gurudev think about it. Yeah, so it happens. Mind goes away. And all of a sudden, like that. Similarly, you are seeing something, but you are not seeing. Supposing I am at 9:41, I can see it very clearly. But I don't see it. And I said, how many more minutes I have? You know, I ask somebody. Because I am not seeing it. Like that. So therefore, the capacity, the faculty, the sense faculties are sometimes sharp, sometimes not sharp. This is an indication that we must use those faculty when they are sharp. For example, supposing we have made this practice that in the morning when I wake up, I will do meditation. Now for some reason, when we get up in the morning, I am not aware of it, but the dream was so terrible that my mind is disturbed on that particular morning. And I cannot do meditation. Now I'm struggling. No. I have told myself I must meditate every day. But your mind is, I don't know what happened today. Every day I have no problem. I just glide into it. But today there is a problem. And stop struggling. Listen to bhajans. I'm not saying don't do anything. Listen to bhajans. Just sit there in the corner or sofa or whatever. Or read some Upanishad or Bhagavad Gita or Ramayana, whatever. Something we can do which is conducive to that day's personality. Because our personality and our indriya's capacity keeps on changing. Why do they keep on changing? Pruthak upadyamanana. That is because all indriyas and their capacity fluctuate according to their utpatti. The utpatti for them is what? It is based on the desires, the vasanas. Actually, in Tattva Bodhi it is said, right? All the indriyas, sense organs and karmendriyas, they have different origin. What is it? All the karmendriyas are all rajasic. Or sense organs are out of sattvic proportion is more. And then the capacity to hear comes from air. So the air portion, Aditya Pancha Mahabodh, air is more compared to others. You know all that. So therefore the utpatti is different. We know that. So the capacity of the senses and their origin is different. And therefore according to the desires also, the capacity of our senses may be fluctuating up and down. So someday some faculties are better than the others, like that. They are of course all connected to the mind and intellect, because without the mind and intellect, the picture won't be put together. But capacity of each one is also different. So having known that, matva dhiro na sochati. So one who is dhira purusha na sochati. So what is the point here? The point here is that therefore a person who understands that the capacity and the origin of the senses are different, will not emphasize sense gratification as the goal. He understands that I am something different. He or she understands that I am not the body, mind and intellect. Although I take advantage of the body, mind and intellect, although I use my senses, I use my mind, I use my intellect. In fact, without the use of the senses, mind and intellect, we cannot even take one step in the spiritual progress. So it is not that I don't, but I understand that they have all their limitations and their capacities are limited. And therefore, I should not overindulge in using those senses for my sense gratification. Such a person, according to the teacher, is dhira. And therefore, such a dhira will not, no sochati, he will not grieve. But by the same token, he will not be overjoyed also. Arey, aata dangal dekh diya. Samatvam yoga uchyate. Seventh mantra. Now this is pointed out. Now a sequence is going to be given to us. So we'll chant 7 and 8 together. The sequence is very important. And In technical terminology, this sequence is called Panchakosha Viveka. Panchakosha Viveka means we go from the grossest to the subtlest, and we merge the grossest into the subtler. Then we merge that subtler into that more subtler, and we merge that subtler into more subtler, until we come to the subtlest. So this is unfolding of our personality to go inside, to go to my real existence, to go to my real essence, which is the subtlest. Why is it subtlest? Because it is all pervading. So subtlest doesn't mean that the subtlest is the smallest. Some people feel, yeah, the subtlest or smallest. You know, how all this you have to fold into this little thing? You are folding it into a bigger thing, because the subtler is the more, you know, pervasive. Because it is subtle, it is more pervasive. It is not subtle, it would not be pervasive. Steam is more pervasive than water. Water is more pervasive than the cube of ice. Right? Okay. Indriyebhya param manaha.
Indriyebhya param manaha.
Manasa sattvam uttamam.
Sattvadadi
mahanatma.
Sattvadadi mahanatma.
Mahato vyaktamuttamam.
Mahato vyaktamuttamam.
Avyaktattu para purushah.
Avyaktattu para purushah.
Vyapako linga evacha.
Vyapako linga evacha.
Yam jñātvā mucyate jantuḥ.
Yam jñātvā mucyate jantuḥ.
Amṛtatvam ca gacchati.
Amṛtatvam ca gacchati.
The jantu amṛtatvam gacchati. Jantu chala gaya amṛtatvam. So jantu chala gaya, apne ko kya? No, I am that jantu. Otherwise, jantu mujhe kya lena, jantu ko jana jaye. Okay. So, indriyebhya param manaha. Param means superior to. Param means superior to. So, superior to this indriya, the five indriyas, or you can say 10 indriyas also. But here, yeah, I think here the sense organs are really indicated here. Senses are indicated. So, five indriyas. Superior to that is the mind. That is to say that mind puts everything together. Without the mind, the five impulses or five information that is coming through these five indriyas, we may not be able to correlate. So we are seeing the beautiful rose, let's say, the color and the form and the shape with the eyes. And then the nose is also smelling that. And it is because of mind we know that, okay, this beautiful looking rose has this smell. And then I touch it with my finger, and so it is such a soft touch. So all that is put together by the mind. Otherwise, independent impulses impulses will not have any significance. So therefore, mind is superior. That is to say that mind is also more subtle, more pervasive. Manasa sattvam uttamam. Superior to the mind is sattva. Now here is what is sattva, ekdam kahan se aa gaya, you know, rajas, tamas and sattva. So here sattva simply means intellect. And the reason behind that, if you know the tattva bodha, is that sattva aspect makes up the intellect. The rajas aspect makes up the mind. So mind is never clear. Mind is always debating whether this is good, that is good, this is good, that should I do this, should I do that. Chanchala atmana iti manaha. Sankalpa vikalpa iti manaha. And nischaya atmika iti buddhi. So the intellect has decisive power to decide what you should do. The decision may be wrong depending on how developed our intellect is. But at least it has the decisive capacity. So therefore, superior to the mind is the intellect. Sattvadadi mahanatma. superior to the individual intellect is the total intellect. Total intellect is what? Ishvara. So superior to Prajna is Ishvara. Superior to, or you can say, you can even mind intellect you can put together, and then superior to Tejas is Hiranyagarbha. So the total capacity is of course superior, more pervasive, more knowing. Mahato avyaktam uttamam, and superior to that, superior the total intellect is avyaktam. Avyaktam means that which is not manifested yet. So that which is causal body. So therefore, subtler to this gross body is the mind and intellect. That's why we call it subtle body. Subtler to that is, subtler to mind and intellect is the causal body, the vasana. Subtler to vasana, you know what it is. It is coming. So, mahato avyaktam uttamam. So, subtler to this subtle body, total intellect, is the causal body. Or that which is causal, meaning, why is it causal? Because there is a potential of creation is there, it has not come out. Why is it subtle? Because anything could come out. See, once a particular shape or form comes out, it is defined. Supposing you ask me a question and I have not come up with the answer. It is more subtle. See, once I give the answer, then that answer becomes grossified. So the potential of creation is always more subtler than that which is already created. Avyaktatu parah purusha. So other than the potential, the creative potential, subtler than the creative potential is the purusha. Purusha means supreme self. The Atman, the Brahman, supreme reality. Pure consciousness. So, panch gaye, destination. That is all. The panchakosha viveka, we have finished. We have come to that. Now the teacher feels that having given this knowledge, the buddhu will misunderstand. Yeah, of course, all of us. So, therefore, the teacher says, okay, now let me give some indications that therefore don't try to understand with your intellect. Don't go to perceive the highest reality with your intellect. Although intellect is needed to reach there. But in the final analysis, you have to go beyond the intellect as well. So therefore he says, Vyapaka Alinga Evacha. Vyapaka means that is that subtle thing is actually the one that is all pervasive. And we know that technically also now that which is the subtlest is always the most pervasive. That which is the grossest, which has a shape and form, is less pervasive. You cannot say that the chair is all pervasive. Chair has a shape and a form, but the air is more pervasive because it has no shape and form. So the subtler always is more pervasive. So vyapaka. Then alinga. This linga is a very technical word. And here Gurudev also spends considerable commentary on that, but also in his lectures also. So there is one, many ways we can understand it. But linga is a suggestive shape for a higher thing. So we have Shiva Linga. So we don't have the Pratima of Shiva, Shankarji, sitting there in that meditative pose. And we have a Linga. A Linga means no such suggestive ideas are possible for that reality. Because anything that we do can come under our concept. In fact, the purpose behind the Linga was only that only. They wanted to create a Linga because Shiva means the moment we say Shiva, we say Jatadhari, you know, this with a Trishul. That shape comes into our mind. Form comes into our mind. So the rishis, you know, they wanted to not have that idea come to our mind because that picture, you know, the shape and form is always limited. So therefore they came up with this Linga, which is not a known geometric shape. But there also now the Linga moment, somebody says Linga, we just think about that Linga. So here actually he is saying that it is so vyapak, it is so subtle and all pervasive that no Linga is possible. Yeah? Everyone, so either you can say that each one of us is Linga only, or you can say no Linga is possible. Either way, it is the same. So, alinga evacha. Gurudev says that most of our knowledge, or all of our knowledge, is only possible by two methods. One is pratyaksa pramana, that we actually see, that which comes in our cognition and therefore we know. So, the moment we say Bakersfield Ashram, okay, because I have seen it, the picture will come into my mind. So, pratyaksa pramana. Another is called Anumana Pramana. Anumana Pramana by inference. So we don't know it, but let's suppose somebody has shown me pictures or somebody has described it to me in words. Then the moment you say, you want to go to Bakersfield, I'll say, yes, I think I heard about it. I would like to go. Like that, right? So it's Anumana Pramana. Then when I come here, then only Pratyaksa Pramana will be possible. So more than 90 to 95% of our knowledge is actually Anumana Pramana. We have heard it in the newspapers or the books or the television or something. It is not Pratyaksa. It has come from inference. Of course, the most technical definition of Anumana is that there is smoke, there has to be fire. Inference. So here what is being said, Gurudev says is, Alinga means that no Anumana Pramana is possible. And no Pratyaksa Pramana is also possible. As we do Pratyaksa Pramana. That is to say that if I am seeing the rope as the snake, as a tatastha observer, I will never be able to see the rope as a rope. But that is not the problem. I am the rope and I am assuming I am the snake. You see, in that example, we have to make some correction because in that example, I am observer. So that is like, I am the observer. And the world is the rope, but I am seeing it as a snake. But when it comes to my own self-identification or the search for the self, search for the self, self-inquiry, then I am the rope and the snake. So it becomes subjective. So when it becomes subjective, what is the problem? I am the rope, but I am thinking I am a snake. Right? So now what is the solution to that? The solution is, I come to recognize that I am the rope. Then when I come to recognize I am the rope, where has the snake gone? Nowhere. Snake was not there to begin with. I was the rope and I remain the rope. But I had superimpose a snake because of my ignorance. Therefore, the Vedanta says that the only path, only salvation is through knowledge. You have to come to that decision yourself that I am the rope and not the snake, period. And then once you decide that and you accept it, you must accept it fully. But I am never going to see the rope or the snake. Just think about it. How am I going to see the, how am I going to see the perceptor through the perceptions that he is enshining? You understand? The perceptor is behind all my sense organs and the mind and the intellect. Without that perceptor, the mind, intellect, sense organs cannot function. And I'm saying, no, but I want to see that perceptor with that mind, intellect and the senses, that he is enshining. That Gurudev used to say that you want to see the flashlight, you want to see the batteries in the flashlight using the flashlight. You know, you cannot do it. Those batteries are the ones that is empowering the flashlight. How can you turn the flashlight on the batteries? You know the flashlight is working because of the batteries. The batteries run out, flashlight will not. That understanding we can have. Therefore, we know that the batteries are there and they are working. And how do we come to that conclusion? By seeing the light coming out of the flashlight. Now, what more proof do you want? Then you insist, no, but I must see the batteries. You can't. Therefore, logic and intellect is the most important faculty that can lead us to the point where we know that, okay, I am that ultimate observer. I am that battery in my flashlight. And that I must drop this insistence that I want to see the battery. And not only that, I must cease all the activities where I think somebody will show me the battery. Oh my goodness, that's even terrible. How can somebody show my battery? It's my battery. Think about it. And all these yoga schools and this and that and all that. The Vedantin doesn't look down on that. They say, oh, these are all very important. Why it is important? Because it prepares your mind. That's it. It is not going to give you an experience. And if that gives you an experience, reject that experience. Because that experience is not the experience of the Brahman. This experience is an experience that you artificially created going through certain exercises. Either of the mind or the body. You can do Kapalbhati sitting right there. In 5 minutes you will have an experience. Is that the experience of the Brahman? No. That is experience of the shortage of oxygen. No, it is true. And you can go around and say, you know, this is Kapalbhati is the best way in which you can experience. Nonsense. So many other schools have started doing do this, this Hatha yoga and that yoga, and it's all garbage. Actually, as long as you use it to make the mind more subtle and intellect more sharp, to improve the capacity to focus so that you can shut out all the other thoughts when you are in the meditation and all that. So meditation is important because it is a sadhana, it is an upasana. But don't use meditation for experience. That will never work. And in fact, if you are using meditation for experience, you are wasting your time. You missed the boat already before you started. So therefore he says alinga, important. Not only you cannot directly experience that entity, but you cannot really actually even indicate that with any attribute. No attribute can be given to that reality. That reality is without every attribute. Yam gnatva muchyate jeeviye jantu ne ye samajh liya. Whoever comes to understand this, that jantu amrutatvam gacchati. So jantu here means anybody who has life. Any living being, any living entity, one who comes to recognize this, will attain moksha. So therefore here this panchakosha is another upasana is given now. You see, this is third upasana. First was importance of human birth. Second was, let us look at the indicative meaning rather than the translated vachyartha, superficial meaning. And the third is now the panchakosha vivek. Okay. Let's go to the ninth. I think we have time. Na sanjase tisthati rupamasya. Na chakshusa pasyati kaschanenam. Ridamani sa manasa blikrupto. Ya etat viduramrutaste bhavanti. Again the same thing here. Ya etat, whoever, one who is, who may come to this conclusion, viduhu, the knower of this what? Knower of that, all the three, first three sentences in this mantra, amrutaste bhavanti, attains immortality. Okay. So what do you have to know to attain immortality? Na means not. This does not happen. This is not going to happen. What is not going to happen? Sandra say, in my vision, in my sight. Now here when you say in my sight, don't restrict it only to eyesight. Huh? This is an indication. In my sight means it is not going to happen in any of my faculty, including the mind and intellect. What is not going to happen? Tishtati rupam asya. Asya rupam. His form. I am never going to go see his vision. That entity called that tat, that Brahman, there is no way I can ever perceive it. There is no way I can ever come to conclude it in my intellectual understanding also. Not tishtati. Then he elaborates. Na chakshusa pasyati kaschanainam. By eyes you are not able to see it. Ridamanisa manasa blikrupto. It can only be revealed by heart, manisa intellect, and manasa mind. Now he says, wait a minute. You just said that you cannot do it by mind and intellect. He is contradicting again. So we have to understand exactly what it means. Mana isha, the controller of the mind, subtler than the mind, the superior to mind. What is it? Intellect. So manisha here is intellect. Manasa, mind. Mind plays at the emotional level. Intellect plays at the thought level. Actually, you know, you can turn this around like this and you see that this is higher than this, this is higher than that, this is the lowest. Same thing, you can turn out like this. So this on the right hand side is, the right hand side of yours is the higher, left hand side of yours is the lower. So therefore the mind plays at the emotional level, the intellect plays at the level of values, thoughts. Thoughts are what? Thoughts are vision, value, what you think is important, what you want to imbibe. But then you get carried away by emotions and objects of the world. You means all of us. We get carried away by emotions and objects of the world. So therefore, to that extent, we are marginalizing the functioning of the intellect. Suppose the mind is complete harmony with intellect and it does not disturb emotionally, then of course it is better. So suppose emotions are not taking my mind, my intellect away from the purpose for which it is created, which is self-inquiry. Supposing I have complete support from my mind. The mind is completely equipoised no matter what happens. Mind doesn't disturb me. Mind actually aids my intellect in its job. Then what? Good. Is there a name for it? Yes. What is it? Rida. Rida. So therefore, integrated mind and intellect is Rida. So through Rida only, abhiklupto. With an integrated mind and intellect alone, I am going to able to come to that realization as to who I am. So the mind and intellect is not to be negated. The mind and intellect is not to be destroyed. The mind and intellect's importance is there, but we have to understand that mind and intellect knowledge can only be conceptual knowledge. And so as far as that is concerned, it will be one step away from the reality. It's needed. Without that, we will not even be able to go to that point. It is needed. But in the final analysis, the mind has to stop its blabbering. The intellect has to stop its identification. The intellect has to understand that my capacity is rich. I can't go anymore now. I'm not going to give you any concept, intellectual concept about what reality is. In that moment, realization happens. So you cannot say intellect was not useful. Intellect is very much needed. Why? Because the knowledge only happens through intellect. And the problem is that I am ignorant about who I am. Therefore, knowledge has to happen. The only problem is that knowledge is about the self. So it is not an objective knowledge, it is subjective knowledge. We never had any occasion so far in our life to have subjective knowledge. Give me one example. All our knowledge of the, therefore we always assume it's going to be an objective knowledge, and therefore we always search for that Brahman here and there, when it is the very subject of my search. Who is searching? I'm searching. What are you searching? Searching me only. Either bat on a pillar. You see, this is a parody. That is why it is so subtle. That is why people miss it. Because, and then therefore some Mahatmas will come and say, no, there no search is necessary. So, oh, theek hai, phir to hum to pehle se jaan ke baitha tha, main karta hi nahi hu. See, this is, we misunderstand what they are saying. They are saying from the highest standpoint. J. Krishnamurti and even Ramana Maharshi, of course, but even our Rajneesh. No sadhana is important. Good. You are my guru. Because I don't want to do sadhana anyway. That's not, he doesn't mean that also. He is saying from the highest standpoint. We are at the lowest standpoint. And then we stop sadhana. See, this is the guru. I tell you. Chinmayananda, you know, ye camp mein ja, wo camp mein ja. Nothing to be done. We always want to find the easy way out. No, this is true. Huh? This is a joke, but it is true. I have seen people, actually. Or otherwise, we go to some yoga experiences here and there. This is a tragedy, to be honest. Because this knowledge of Brahman or the self, this is so subtle that it is very easy to get sidetracked. We are very lucky that we have come to some mission that does not take us sideways. You know, they come directly to We are on the path. They take us directly through that real knowledge. But then at the end of the course, Vedanta course, we go to the Gurudev and we ask him, Gurudev, I went through the whole Vedanta course. Give me something I can take home. Can you imagine how Gurudev must be feeling? Buddhu. But Gurudev, you know, out of their infinite compassion, they will not call us Buddhu. They will say, good, very important question. Get up every day 5 o'clock and do meditation. Now, you know, now he is telling me what to do. Meditate. But we have misunderstood. We think, no, meditate, because then only you will realize, you will have the experience. And Bhagavan ka experience kaise hoga? Meditation. So after 2 years, you say, now I am seeing the glimpse. Anyway. So, yeah, etat viduhu amruta aste bhanti. One who comes to comprehend the reality as it is, one who comes to understand that we cannot have the rupam in our sight, that we cannot really see, or we cannot really come under, we cannot even have any cognizance whatsoever of that entity. And that the only thing that will actually bring me close to that is Hrida, integrated mind and intellect. Such a person, Vidhu, such a knower, Amruta Aste Bhavanti, will attain Amruta. The same thought is continuing in the 10th verse. Let us finish that. Yada panchavati sthante. Jnanani manasasah. Buddhischana vichestate. Tamahu paramam gatim. Tam ahuhu paramam gatim. This is what is known as supreme state of consciousness. This is what is known as the highest state. That's what I wanted to know. What is it? Yada panchavati sthante. When all the 5 sense organs are completely rested in their individual places of dwelling. So the eyes are not going out looking for more experiences. The ears are not going out looking for rock music or Karnataki for that matter. That doesn't matter. The tongue is not asking for cant mango all the time. So all the indriyas are not seeking any more experience. Not that if you come to cant mango, because I will also eat. If you come to Bakersfield and it is available, you know, eat or eat, you know. But not that is my life principle. Like yesterday only I was talking to somebody that, you know, if you feel like tea, you can drink tea. But not that tea is controlling my whole freedom and activity for the day. Then it is a problem. So, yada panchavati sthante. All the 5 sense organs are at rest. Are at rest means they have come to the conclusion that by sense gratification, permanent peace is impossible. Permanent gratification is impossible through senses. I will always be looking for something more, something more, something more, something more. Therefore, they are at rest. It is not that we are not using them at all. Otherwise, again, misunderstanding can happen. That is to say, you know, no, the snake was coming to me, but, you know, I have become Mahatma. So, the snake is coming to you, run away, you know. You have to see it. Mahatma ho gaya to kya hua? No, everything is open to misinterpretation. So yada pancha avatisthante means that they have become relatively quiet. They are out of paripakavata, out of maturity. See, we have become mature. Look, we are different than the way we were born. We are running after all little toys here and there. Now we know that these toys are going to be broken. They are not permanent. So that is that is maturity. Similarly, everything else in this life also, nothing is permanent. That is maturity. Including my body. Including me. Including me means not the real me. My real me is permanent. Luckily. Okay. Then what? Jnanani manasasaha. And together with the mind. So together with the mind. I have come to this jnana, the knowledge. I have understood who I am. So therefore, when I understood who I am, my emotional quotient will be minimal. I'm not carried away emotionally here and there. You know, some people get angry very fast. Some people get dejected very fast. Some people, all that, you know. Everybody's personality is different. I understand. Some people are very cool. So they call Captain Dhoni cool. You know? Captain Virat Kohli, not a cool guy. He gets mad very easy. You understand? So everybody's, but like Gurudev used to say, he said, I use my anger as my handkerchief. When I need it, I remove it out. Put it back. Because all these things are necessary. So, jnanani manasasaha. I have come to accept the knowledge. I have come to understand the knowledge about me, myself. Saha, with what? Together with buddhischa. Along with the intellect. What kind of an intellect? Na vichestate. The intellect that ceases to look for intellectual gratification. What is intellectual gratification? Ye problem, you know, theory of relativity, now I understand. Until then I was not happy because I was trying to understand what Einstein really meant. Now I understand what he meant. That is intellectual gratification. Like that we will never get. I didn't understand exactly. But now I know what is Brahman. If you know what is Brahman, that knowledge, that Brahman is not the Brahman that you want to know. Because how can you? It has no attribute to the Brahman. The only thing you can definitely know is that it is unknowable. Therefore what? Therefore forget about all this sadhana. Maja maja karo, dangal dekho. No, that is not what the rishis are saying. They are saying, therefore, that intellectual, you should have the intellectual hunger, but also understand that ultimately intellectual gratification is impossible. Because we can never say that I understand. How can we understand that Paramatma, that Brahman, that power, because of which intellect is functioning? Otherwise, intellect will become more powerful than the Brahman. Think about it. If an instrument is able to recognize something, that instrument becomes more powerful than that something. So that Brahman you cannot intellectually apprehend or comprehend. So therefore, na vichestate means you will stop looking for, not that intellect won't function. That is not the translation actually. But vichestate here means it will give up all the chesta without chesta. What is the chesta? The intellect is chesta. Chesta means, you know, attempt. Right? Chesta. Yes. Chesta. Any better translation than no, attempt? So the intellect will give up all the attempts to apprehend the reality. But how? Not by saying, no, it is impossible, you know, forget it. Not like that. It will give up attempt by complete understanding that it is impossible to apprehend the reality with my intellect. And the moment that happens, the intellect becomes completely quiet. And it is only when the intellect and mind is completely quiet that we will come face to face with the perceptor, the real perceptor, because of which all the perceptions are possible. And what about that person? Are uski to kya baat? Tamahuhu paramam gati. Ye to supreme. That person, that's what they call him. Paramam gati. Wo to uska to kaam ho gaya. Wo pahunch gaya. He has achieved that state. Like Gurudev. Now, continuing, I think actually, you know, next session, because the new topic is now, yoga is going to be described by the teacher. And I have already told you the importance of yoga. So, maybe just 2 minutes I will tell you. Vedanta accepts yoga as a discipline or an upasana for mind. I'm repeating myself, I know. So therefore in Upanishad also, we find yoga is mentioned. In fact, there will be an elaborate description based on which Vedavyasa has created the whole 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Coming here. So Advaita Vedanta accepts yoga as a discipline, as an upasana, as a means to increase the capacity of the mind and intellect to focus on one entity without disturbance. Because right now we don't have that capacity. Right now our mind and intellect is going here and there. So to develop and train the mind and intellect so that all the background noise is removed, all the background disturbances can be subdued, is important. And so for to that purpose, yoga is important. But never as a technique through which and through which alone you can experience Brahman. So that has to be very clear. I think that I want to be very honest and clear about it because it is the truth. And I've seen many people actually waste their time. So as a discipline it is good, but as the only path through which you can have experience, it is terrible. If we can make that distinction, we are okay. Okay? Hari Om. I'll see you after break.